Thank you, Jamie. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Steve. I know that the sound wasn't brilliant. I'm going to be touching on some of the things that Steve mentioned. And I think in any case, we got the gist of that Bible verse as well. So there's no craft today. But I've still got my googly eyes from last week. Sue, you'll be pleased to see. I've had a couple of comments not believing that I did that myself. I did that all myself. It was all my own work. But if you want to grab a piece of paper and a pen and a Bible, there's no one handing out the Bibles today. So if you want to grab your own Bible, that would be great. And, you know, maybe make a note of there's a few Bible verses that I'm going to be taking us through. Or maybe the Lord's saying something to you this morning through the service. Make a note of it. Share it. Share it with Ian or share it with myself. We can, if it's for the church, we can put it on the daily prayer point and such like as well to encourage people. So yeah, grab yourself a piece of paper and pen and a Bible. So last week Kim shared, didn't he, from Psalm 121. And I think it sort of is a nice link actually into this week's Bible best bit as well. Kim shared about how God watches over us, and as a result of him watching over us, we can trust him for our lives. We can trust him for all the things that he has for us. And this week with Steve's verse, I think there's more finality to it. Let's just read it again. John 10, verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. That is a truth for eternity, and something that hopefully, as we dwell on that and we think about that, will completely change our lives. And, you know, this was this little passage here was at a time when Jesus was making some very outlandish claims that were rocking the Jewish nation. Just a few verses beforehand, verse 9 of chapter 10, it says, I am the gate. Whoever enters me will be saved. A couple of verses on, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I mean, this was crazy as far as the Jews were concerned. You know, they knew that the sort of the imagery of sheep and shepherds was woven through the Old Testament. It would have been well known that when Jesus is talking of him being the shepherd and talking of the sheep, and I am and the Father are one, that would have been clearly understood that Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah, the one that was promised, the one that the Jews had heard about in the Old Testament, in the biblical writings. And, you know, some of the Jews, most of the Jews, thought that Jesus was demon-possessed in verse 19. But others thought, well, how can this be? Here is a man who is healing the sick, who is making the blind to see and claiming to be God. How can someone who has a demon be doing these things? And Jesus says, verse 26, to the Jews, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. You know, I don't know about you, but if ever I go into a field with sheep in it, the sheep, as soon as you get anywhere close, the sheep run away, don't they? They disappear, particularly if on a lead, obviously, but if we've got the dog with us, you know, the sheep will just scatter. But what Jesus says is, I am the shepherd. So in biblical times, the shepherd would have had his staff and would have gone in front, and the sheep would have followed. And what it's saying is that the Jews have seen I'm a shepherd, but actually they're not following me as sheep should follow me. They are scattering. You're running away. You're not listening. But then we get to verse 27 and verse 28. Verse 28, that statement of fact. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And that, as Steve has said, what a reassurance to know that, that that is a fact. That is something that you can take for the whole of your life. But actually, I want us to focus a little bit on verse 27 this morning. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So here is my Mike Wells PowerPoint. Slide number one, word for the day is hear. Okay, we're going to be thinking about what it is to hear God's voice, to hear Jesus' voice. And the second word we're going to be looking at today in the little PowerPoint transition is follow. Hear and follow. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the number of times that Jesus said, or that it says in the Bible, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. If we go to Matthew, I mean, it's on a number of occasions, but John the Baptist was in prison. He'd sent followers, if you like, to go and to speak to Jesus and to then report back. And Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Verse 15 of Matthew 11. You know, John the Baptist has been sent before me, as was prophesied. Will you hear that? Will you hear that, people? And he says, but actually they're not listening. We played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you didn't mourn. You know, as Christians, as a Christian and as Christians, we have thought about life. We've thought about the universe. We've considered everything. We've read through the Bible with all of its challenges and difficult passages and such like. And we've made a decision to believe, to trust, to put our assurance in God. We are sheep. We are the sheep, if you like, that Jesus is talking about. Matthew chapter 4, what do we do with that? Chapter 4 talks about the lamp and the lampstand. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. So it's not just a case of hearing, it's a case of what do we do with that. You know, we know, don't we, this imagery of the lampstand, that, you know, we're not going to hide what we've got away, but it's going to impact our lives in all that we do. And it's going to be seen in the world, the fact that Jesus has made a change, a difference to us as Christians. It's not just a case of knowing, it's a case of living it out. I mean, I probably a terrible analogy, but I like my Formula One. And so Lewis Hamilton, some of you may have heard of him, has just won his 7th world champion. Ben, I can see Ben, I think maybe in Gambia, putting his hands in the air there. Fantastic. 7 times world champion. I mean, amazing. He is clearly a very, very talented guy and he knows it. You know, he's normally doesn't do interviews, but last week he did an interview and he was sort of saying, yeah, I know I'm good at this. But can you imagine him having this Mercedes-Benz, this monster of a car that they've got, and he sits in the car and he doesn't turn it on. He just sits there. You know, if he's got something, You've got to use it. We have got the good news to believe in. We are not to hide it away. You know, for Lewis Hamilton, he's got to put the, it sounds better in American, doesn't it? But you know, he's got to put his pedal to the metal. You know, he's got to go for it. He's got to forge ahead. You know, we've got a great thing. We've got to go for it in our lives. We've got to forge ahead as we hear what Jesus has got. And then finally, to each of the churches in Revelation, he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. You know, these churches were described as, or they are the lampstand. You know, they're meant to, we as a church are meant to shine the light into the world. That's what we are called to do. So my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, when Steve's battery, I don't know if you heard that little bit, but Steve was in his sleeping bag with his Bible out there reading through John, and his battery ran out just as he got to John 10, 28. And, you know, I was thinking about that. You know, Steve told me he was going to be saying that, and I thought, you know, in some respects, that is the light of the world, light in the world, if you like, going out, and the light in his life with God went on. You know, that's as, there's one thing knowing this assurance, but for me, the key thing is, what are we going to do with that? What's that going to mean in our lives? You know, and to follow someone is an active thing, isn't it? You don't follow someone passively, you follow someone actively. I used to do a lot of cross country when I was at school, many, many years ago. And on a Wednesday afternoon, when we had games, we'd be driven out in the old crackety minibus, you know, sort of the benches down the side. If ever, you know, whenever you put the foot on the brake, you weren't sliding down the benches on the minibus. And the teacher would have given us beforehand a little map, just off the Bander machine, you know, the purple sort of lines on the map. So we'd be driven 10 miles out, often to places we didn't know, and we had to follow these lines on the map. And a lot of the time, you know, they were useless. You dropped it, or it got too wet, and you couldn't read it anymore, or whatever. And you were dependent on following someone who knew where they were going. You know, if you lost sight of the person in front, you get to a junction and you didn't know where to go. And, you know, as a little aside, you know, sometimes our faith is a bit like that, isn't it? We're going along and we start to lose sight of who we're following, what we're doing. And, you know, if ever I got lost on a run in the middle of the country, what would I do? I'd stop and I'd shout as loud as I could, help, you know, where are you, type of thing. And, you know, maybe that's something we need to take on as Christians. Sometimes when things are feeling a bit distant, when we're feeling a bit lost, if you like, we need to stop. We need to call out to God and shout to him and say, Lord, show me the way. I want to follow you. But who do we follow? Well, we follow Jesus, don't we? And I was going to get you, and you can put into chat if you like. I think my mum may be watching, and my mum's told me I've got to keep this short. So I'm not going to ask you to put things in chat, or I'm not going to sort of just wait for you. But I was thinking of the characteristics of Jesus, some of the words that are his character. You know, we follow Jesus, don't we? And we follow what he was like. So Jesus was compassionate. He was compassionate all through his life to people who were ill, but also ultimately compassionate on the cross for us. He was a servant. You know, maybe write some of these words down. He was compassionate. He was a servant. He didn't look to be number one the whole time. He served people. He was loving. He was forgiving. prayerful, committed. He was committed to the people he was around, but ultimately he was committed to the work that God had given him. He was gentle. Let the little children come to me. Patient. He had self-control. He was humble. You know, as we follow Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit, because maybe some of those things aren't my natural characteristics, but that is what we want to follow. We want our lives to follow with those characteristics. If we struggle with those, let's pray. Let's talk to someone. Let's ask God to help us develop the characteristics of Jesus. You know, what does that mean for you specifically this morning? And you know, I'm not going to develop that. I'm going to leave that with you to think about. Because, you know, I could talk about how we should be like this, we should be like that. But actually, you know yourself. You know your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus, whether you're following him. But think about it. Pray about it. Discuss it with someone. But ultimately, with that knowledge of John 10 verse 28, that our eternity is secure, that no one can snatch us out of Jesus's hands, every decision, every direction that we have in our lives, as Steve has sort of explained of their next thinking, if you like, of what the Lord has for them next, every direction has got to be as a result of us following Jesus. And just finally, I just want to talk very briefly about what it means for us as a church. You know, we're in this crazy pandemic, aren't we? You know, I'm looking at 40 odd people on my screen at the moment, as opposed to 40 odd people in a church building. You know, it's crazy, crazy times. But, you know, there's a little bit of hope this week, isn't there? You know, a little bit of hope that, you know, maybe, you know, with a vaccine or whatever else, maybe sometime next year we'll be starting to get back to normal. But, you know, in some respects, I think I don't want to go back to normal. I don't even know what the new normal looks like. But as a church, you know, we are in a transition phase now. You know, Ian's mentioned it. We're in a transition phase for so many reasons. But as a church, globally, nationally and locally, let's make sure that when we come through the other side of this pandemic, that we're not the same. We're not normal. Let's listen to God's leading and let's look for new and challenging and exciting ways that we want to go through. You know, Ian's spoken about that. In the coming weeks, in the coming months, we're going to be spending a lot of time as a church. And it feels like deja vu because, as Steve said, I think I said something like this back in January, but it feels like 10 years ago for what we've been through. But we're going to be going through times of prayer, times of reflection, and seeking God's face for the future. Let's make sure that we are hearing him and that we are following him. And, you know, we can do all of this in the safe knowledge of verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you that this isn't a game. This isn't a story. This isn't just words on a page, but this is real life. It's life changing. Lord, thank you. In the same way as Steve explained on the day when the battery ran out, he knew this was life changing. And Lord, for each of us, wherever we are, help us to find our first love again, as it says in the little word to the church in Ephesus in Revelation. Let us have ears to hear of what the Spirit is doing. Lord, we thank you that we can have that assurance. We can have that certainty that no one can ever snatch us out of your hand. And Lord, as we seek to hear you and as we seek to follow you, we just want to give ourselves again with the whole of our lives and say, Lord, here we are, take us. So Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Amen.